We are going to continue in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and today we're going to be talking about prayer. Have you ever asked for something and been surprised that you actually got it? Yeah. My immediate thought when I was thinking that question was, I remember like my parents knew I wanted a Mustang, and then they actually got me a Mustang. And if you know my mom, she's very, you know, over the top on things. And so I expected, and she's in here today, so I can say that. So I expected never to get a Mustang because she always thought I would wreck it. And I did wreck it, as a matter of fact. But I remember being amazed that she actually got me a Mustang. Or I remember when I asked our district superintendent if I could start this church. And I was 21, 22 at the time, and he said yes. And I was like, what are you thinking? But okay. Maybe for you, maybe it was that you asked for a pet when you were a kid and you actually got it. Maybe it was interviewing for a job and being surprised that you actually got it. Or maybe it was making an offer to a car salesman and them coming back and actually accepting it. Nah, that never happens. Sometimes in life, you get exactly what you ask for, and it feels good, doesn't it? You feel, the world will describe it as lucky. We use the word blessed. We feel blessed when we get what we want. And it's on a whole nother level when God gives us exactly what we ask for. There's been moments in this church where I would stand up at the front and I would look back and see who all is here. And I would feel so blessed to know that God has answered my prayers and the prayers of different people in this church to see God use our church in this community. I would literally tear up and be tearing up before I even got up here to preach. Or when I held Elijah for the first time in the hospital, I can remember like that, like it was yesterday. I was in awe at what God has blessed me with. In times like that, it's just a reminder of how real God is and that he really does care for us. But on the flip side of that, have you ever forgotten he cares about us? There's times where life doesn't go well. There's times where we don't get what we want. There's times where it feels like maybe God has abandoned us, or maybe he isn't real. Sometimes it feels like only bad things happen to us. And so in those times, it's easy to forget that he really does care about you. And for most people, when the going gets tough, that's when they seek God the most. And that's good. I'm not saying that's not what we should do. That's exactly what we should be doing. We should be seeking God at all times. And in our human nature, it's like when life gets tough, that's all of a sudden when we start focusing on him more. But if you're like me, I'm going to be very honest with you today just to show you some of my struggles in my prayer life. If you're like me, sometimes I'm praying and asking God for things without much confidence that he's going to answer. And that's going to be the word you hear a good bit today is confidence. In the moment when everything around me is not going great, I tend to think about how bad life is. And there doesn't seem to be much of any hope that anything is going to improve. So I may be asking the right things, but it's more or less I'm just going through the motions without much confidence that God is actually going to come through. In that moment, we are allowing our circumstances to cause us to doubt God, to doubt his goodness, to doubt his ability to answer prayer, and to doubt his care for us. And that's exactly what we can't let happen. We cannot let our circumstances cause us to doubt God's goodness to his children and his desire to answer our prayers. Yet at some point, every follower of God is going to go through a dark season in your life, and you're most likely, if you're going to live for any amount of time, you're going to go through multiple dark seasons in your life that may cause you to doubt. Every major person in the Bible has. Abraham went through dark seasons. Noah went through dark seasons. King David went through dark seasons. And the person that we are looking at today, and if you've been in our church for any amount of time, you know this is one of my favorite people in all of history. My son's named after him. We're going to be looking at Elijah. Elijah went through dark seasons, and we're going to look at it today. And yet, when James, the brother of Jesus, talks about prayer in his book, he uses Elijah as an example. Here's what he says in James 5, 16 through 18. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So in other words, he was like us. He had the same struggles we did. And yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So when he's using the example of a righteous person, he's using Elijah as an example of someone whose prayers was answered. And so as we work through this next part on the Sermon of the Mount, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Elijah's life. Because I think it's a good comparison to ours in helping to apply what Jesus is teaching here. So here's what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. So we could do somewhat of a deep dive into the ask, seek, knock, but I think what I'm going to say instead is just understand that Jesus is talking about what our prayer should consist of. We shouldn't be afraid to ask for things in prayer. When we talk about the seeking, I often have applied that to there's times in your life where you're seeking answers from God. But another thing that we should be doing in prayer is just simply seeking God. And Jesus says, hey, when you seek me, you're going to find me. The knocking, I've always thought about knocking on opportunities that are before us. He uses the analogy of a door. A door is meant to be walked through. The door will be open, he says. Some of the commentaries I read applied this to salvation, that you're knocking on the door of salvation, and he's there to welcome you into his kingdom. But what Jesus is communicating here, I didn't really want to talk about the ask, seek, knock too much, because what Jesus is communicating here is he wants us to understand that when you pray, God hears your prayers, and he answers your prayers. He says when you ask, you notice it said for everyone in verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and for the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Now, remember, he's talking to his followers here, so this applies to people like me and you. But he's saying that your prayers are going to be answered. He hears your prayers. When you ask, you're going to receive. When you seek, you're going to find. When you knock, that door is going to be open. And so my question naturally is, how far does this go? Does that mean if I ask for a new car, I'm going to receive it? Or if I ask for $1 million, I'm going to get a check tomorrow for $1 million? The short answer is no. Most likely not. He's not a genie in a bottle that's there to give our every wish. He is always going to do, and this is me getting ahead, but he's always going to do what's ultimately best for us. And a lot of times getting a new car, i.e. my Mustang, is not the best thing for us. James 4:3 says this, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend what you request on your pleasures. So Jesus is saying, ask and you will receive, and James is saying, well, hold on, let me explain that a little bit more. You ask with the wrong motives. You don't ask to build up the kingdom of God. You don't ask for other people. What you're asking for is for yourself, so that you can spend these things on your own pleasures, and those are not going to be answered. Not in the way you want them answered. They'll be answered, but not in the way you want them answered. our requests, what we are seeking, they must align with Scripture. They must align with the heart of God. I love that James says motives. What's the motive of our heart? What's our core desire in what we are asking for? They must align with God's heart. Something else I want us to understand is that when we are praying, we have to understand that the Spirit is praying on our behalf. That God is working, is literally, we're praying to God, but God is also praying for us. It's an interesting setup. Here's what it says in Romans 8, 26 through 27. It says, "Now in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to his will." And then, a few verses later, Paul says this, "Christ Jesus is he who died, but he is also the one who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us." And so I actually have these slides out of order, so I'm going to go straight to this one. When we pray, this is a picture of kind of what prayer looks like. Yes, you're talking to God the Father who is on the throne. But also, Paul tells us here in Romans 8, Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is interceding on our behalf. And not only that, he said a few verses before in Romans 8 that you have the Holy Spirit who is also praying on your behalf to the Father. So prayer is an area where you are involving all three parts of the Godhead, of the Trinity. So, yes, God hears our prayers. He knows exactly what we ask for. But something I take comfort in is what Paul tells us in Romans 8, 27, that the Spirit himself is interceding on our behalf according to the will of God. So you can pray one thing. You can ask for whatever. And if it's not the will of God, the Spirit already knows that because the Spirit is God. And this, so the Spirit is instead speaking to the Father and saying, here's what they really want. Have you ever prayed for something and glad you didn't receive it? Yeah, I think we all have. I'm thankful that the Spirit was praying on my behalf according to the will of God, because what I was praying was not according to the will of God. So this is the picture of kind of how prayer works. Yes, we have direct access to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father, but you also have the Holy Spirit and Jesus interceding on our behalf, and you have a good, good Father in heaven who desires good for your life. And I've already gotten to the last point, so now we can go. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here. Let's go back to the first point now. Restart. There was a pastor that was developing Alzheimer's. And he'd get to the end of his sermon and just restart. He would forget that he preached it, so he'd just go again. And they sat there and listened. I was like, my people wouldn't do that. They'd get up and go to eat. So knowing that this is how prayer works, here's what Jesus is wanting to communicate in us. He wants us to be confident in our prayers, assured that God hears us and will answer. He wants us to have confidence that we can ask, that we can seek, that we can knock, and that God is going to hear those prayers and he will answer those prayers, not according to our will, because the Spirit's praying on our behalf, according to his will. So what he's saying is that we don't need to be scared to ask God for things, for yourself and for others. We need to ask with this boldness and confidence that God hears us. Now, this is not a confidence in ourselves. This is obviously a confidence in your faith that God is real. It's a confidence in God's heart. It's a confidence in that he does hear and his will be done in our life. And so for me, I feel like I have someone who has my back when I'm in prayer. Because the Holy Spirit is interceding on my behalf, because Jesus is interceding on my behalf, I can ask for whatever. As long as I'm asking with the right heart, I can ask for whatever, knowing that God's will is being prayed for me by the Spirit as well. Which then makes you wonder why God wants us to ask for these things anyway if the Holy Spirit's praying on our behalf. And God already knows everything we want and need. He already knows our innermost thoughts. He knows them before we even do. So the question is, why would he want us to pray anyway? And I think this goes into how we were made. Sometimes we don't realize things about ourselves until we verbalize it, until we speak it. And so I think it's an exercise for our soul and for our spiritual life that when we are talking to God, we are coming to the realization of the things that we do want in our life. And it's a reminder to keep our focus on him. And so Jesus, I think he's communicating here in the Sermon on the Mount, don't be afraid to talk to God. Don't be afraid to. Don't approach prayer with a lack of confidence, because God hears you and he will provide you with what you really need. Not always what you want, but what you need. Going to look at Elijah in the Old Testament, he was not afraid to ask. Can you imagine today praying that it would not rain for 3 years and 6 months as he did, according to James 5:17? That's a bold prayer right there. That took a lot of confidence to go to God and say, God, I don't want it to rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then to come back around and say, hey, let it rain. And it rained. And then if you're familiar with Elijah's story, there's a time where he comes up against these false prophets and their own the mountain, and they come for a showdown between their false gods and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel. And so he says this, Elijah's before all of Israel at this point, and it says, then at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet approached and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. So answer me, Lord. Answer me so that this people may know that you, Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back. So here he is before all of Israel. It'd be like someone going up to Washington, D.C., and we're having a showdown with the people that are, I don't remember what the witch religion is, but a bunch of showdown between our God and the false gods of the witches. It would be like a Christian going up before all of America and saying, God, I know you're real. God, answer me so that people in this nation turn back to you. Show them that you are God. That takes a lot of confidence to do it in front of a whole country, knowing that you're going to be killed if God doesn't answer your prayer, knowing that you're going to be taken out. And God, of course, does answer all of Elijah's prayers there. He stopped the rain. He made it rain again. He sent fire down from heaven, confirmed that he is God, and that they were worshiping these false gods. The reason why he answered those prayers was because they were according to his will. Now imagine how this made Elijah feel. You know, he felt invigorated in a lot of ways. You know that it made him feel the reality of God's blessings in his life. It made him know that God was with him. And for me, to see an answer to prayer, that would make me a lot more bold follower of God. And after those first few answered prayers, I'm sure that made him even more confident in his prayers, knowing that they would be answered. And that leads into God wants us to be confident in our prayers. He wants you to ask for things both for yourself and for other people. Don't be afraid to ask things for yourself. If God wants good for your life, you should want good for your life. And ultimately, you at the best possible you can be is good for everyone else. So pray for good in your life. Pray for good in the life of others. Seek him. Knock on those doors. In other words, what I'm saying today is there are very few cases where we should say, I don't know if I should pray that or not. As long as it's with the right motives, God wants you to ask them. And the reason why is because you got the Holy Spirit and Jesus covering your back. If it's not according to the will of God, the Spirit's praying according to the will of God. Jesus is interceding on your behalf. And like I've already said, you won't always get what you want, but you'll get what you need. Devil doesn't want us to understand this, though, or live this out. James makes a connection in James chapter 4 that actually says that people are sinning because they are not asking God for things in prayer. He says, you do not have because you do not ask God for them. Made me wonder in our life, how many things are we missing in our life that may be causing us to rely on things of this world that we don't have because we haven't asked God for it. See, the devil doesn't want you to ask God for things. He doesn't want you to speak to God. He doesn't want you having those communication. And so Jesus is telling us the exact opposite of what the devil would tell us. Jesus is saying, ask, ask, ask. Don't be afraid to seek me, and be confident when you do. Be confident that I hear your prayers. Be confident that I will answer. Know that I'm here and know that I care for you. So my question for you today is, what have you missed out on because you haven't asked? What have you missed out on because you haven't asked with confidence? I wonder if we would have missed out on sitting in this church building today if we hadn't asked God for this building in prayer. I wonder if I would have missed out on knowing you if I hadn't asked God to grow this church. It makes you think about how different your life could be if you didn't ask for things. And it makes you wonder how different your life could be if you had asked for things. And I'm fascinated by this, and we don't have time. This could be a whole sermon probably. But I'm fascinated by what James says there. You don't have because you don't ask. Which means that you have some control over what you experience in this life. That, yes, I think there's a range of possibilities of what our life can look like. And God wants us to experience the best possible life. But in order for us to experience the best possible life, you have to ask for that. In order to experience the most effective life on this earth for Jesus, you have to ask for God to work in you. But how many for us settle at the bottom end of that range that God has for us because we refuse to ask him? So I hope you understand, don't be afraid to ask. That leads into the next point. We can be confident in our prayers because God wants good for us. Matthew 7, 9 through 11, here's what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, what person is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is my first time preaching this, I think, since I became a father. So I read this somewhat differently than I have before. So the bread and fish would have been basic needs during that time. That's basically their food. And stones and snakes are useless. The stone is useless. And if you know a child, you give them a stone, they're probably going to break things. But now what's the snake going to do? Snake's going to hurt them. So what Jesus is saying here is that what good father here on earth, when they ask for food, you give them something that they could hurt someone else with, or you give them something that they'll hurt themselves, that will hurt them. You give them what they need. And so he says, if you who are evil, compared to God, we're all evil. We all fall short of the glory of God. It says, if you are evil, know how to give good gifts, then how much more will your good Father in heaven know how to give good things to those who ask him? If you can have good fathers here on earth, your Father in heaven can outdo every good father here on earth. He is a good father who is going to take care of his children. He's going to provide their needs. And this is where maybe my thoughts have changed a little bit. You know, sometimes what God will provide your wants to. And the reason why I provide Elijah with his wants sometimes is because I want to see the joy on his face. Don't you think it pleases God to see the joy in your face when you get something maybe you wanted? Maybe it's not a need such as food or water or something like that, but maybe it's something else in your life that you just really wanted. Maybe it's a certain job that you really wanted. I know as a father, you don't ever want anything bad to happen to your children. As a parent, you don't want anything bad to happen to them. You want to try to protect them from everything that you can. And if we feel that way, how much more does God feel that way? God is a much better parent than any of us ever will be. So that means he takes care of us like a good parent on earth would. And I thought about this. The cool thing about God is that you're always his child and you're always under his care. I'm not under my parents' care anymore. Do they still care about me? Yes. But am I responsible for living a self-sustaining life? Yes. But as long as I live, both now and eternity, I am under the care of my Heavenly Father. And there is some type of confidence in that. There's some type of, that makes me confident, but it also makes me assured. It makes me feel safe and sound. Hasn't always made me feel that way. I mean, you hear that towards the end, that he is going to take care of us. He's a good God that wants good for us. So then the question becomes, why does bad things happen? Why does our circumstances sometimes go bad and it causes us to doubt God? Well, number one, we live in a fallen world. Number two, he doesn't guarantee us a problem-free time on earth. That's in heaven. He does guarantee us, though, that as a follower of Jesus, that he will always be with us through the bad times. And he will somehow work everything bad around for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Yet that doesn't change how you feel in the middle of that season of struggle. When you're asking God for things, when you're seeking God, when you're knocking on that door and it doesn't seem like he's answering. It can cause you to question your faith. It can cause you to question his goodness. It can cause you to question his existence even. And Elijah experienced the same thing. After he has seen God answer his prayers, the rain stopped, the rain came, the fire came down from heaven. Then he became a wanted man. The queen of Israel wanted to take him out. And so he fled for his life. And he said in 1 Kings 19:4, says that he went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked for himself to die. Bless me. And said, enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. He's praying that his life would end. There's elsewhere in this chapter where he says, God, have I not done all this for you? God, have I not been zealous for you? And now look at me. I'm a wanted man on the run. I just want my life to end. It's probably a good thing God didn't answer that prayer. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because they're actually harmful to us. And just like I don't let Elijah do stuff that he wants sometimes, this Elijah, not Prophet Elijah, God doesn't allow us to do things sometimes that would actually be harmful to us. See, God knew what Elijah really needed. And what he really needed was to know God was with him. And so God encourages him to eat. And then he takes him on a journey. And on that journey, God could appear in all these big things, and God appears in a whisper, which communicated to Elijah that God is close no matter how bad circumstances get. He's right here. He encourages Elijah. He pushes him to keep going. He gives him a plan for the future, and Elijah followed it. And we read that story, and we clap our hands, and we love that story. We love knowing that God was there for Elijah. But it does not change the fact that in the middle, do you think Elijah questioned God's goodness? I do. James told us that Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. And if that was us on the run from the authorities, after we had done all these things for God, after we had sacrificed our life to be his prophet, after we had done virtually everything right, to still be hunted down, I would be questioning whether God was still good. If he was praying to die, that tells me his mental state was not great. I would be feeling the same way. And honestly, I'd be telling myself, why bother to even pray? Why bother to even ask God for things? See where it's gotten me now? I'm on the run. See where it's gotten me now? I'm a wanted fugitive. But now when we read that story, we celebrate because God was with him the whole time. And God was good. And it's a story we're still talking about today. It's a story that I'm using in this sermon to talk about asking confidently. It shows us that even when we feel like God doesn't answer our prayer like we think he should, he is still good. It is so easy to cause times of struggle to stop us from confidently praying, to stop us from asking, seeking, knocking, because we say, why bother? But that's exactly what the devil wants us to think. He wants us to stop having that relationship with God. He wants us to rebel against him. So my encouragement for us today, that if we're in that season, we have to keep asking, seeking, knocking. Why? Simply because he tells us to. And because scripture actually tells us that struggles in our life are actually a time of testing to see the genuineness of our faith. We have to keep going back to him. We have to keep being confident knowing he is a good, good father. This is where I'm going to get really honest with you. Most of you know that we had a miscarriage a few years ago. And this scripture was the exact scripture I used when I was on the floor in my living room begging God to save our baby. I knew Sarah was having symptoms of a miscarriage. She was at work. And I was laying there. I was sitting there on the floor on my knees, begging God to save this baby. And I said, God, you know, I've been taught to pray the scriptures. And so I'm saying, God, here's what your scripture says. You said to ask, seek, and knock. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. I'm asking you to save this child. And I believe that you're answering me. And I believe that you're still good no matter what. Unfortunately, we end up losing the baby, which was traumatic in some ways itself. And for a long time afterwards, I struggled with the exact thoughts I've shared today. Why bother asking when God didn't answer my prayer when I wanted him to answer it the most? Is he really still good? Is he really still God? Is he even real? It was a crisis of faith, and it's a hard thing to come up on the stage and preach on Sunday morning as a pastor trying to encourage you guys when you're not even sure if God is good. I know what scriptures say, and that's what I hung on to. But deep down, I was struggling. Because that was one of the times where I clearly asked him for something. And he didn't answer. Not in the way I thought he should. And it broke my heart. And I remember Sarah coming home that day and just bawling her eyes out. And us sitting on the couch and having to tell the few people that knew at that time, calling her parents to tell them. It was tough. But what I hung to was that scripture still says God is good. No matter our circumstances, no matter what we go through, I couldn't make sense of this, what happened. But I understood what scripture said, and I hung on to that. And over time, my heart has gotten back to that. But I would be lying to you today if I said that I wasn't still a little gun shy about asking God for things. Because I don't have as much confidence as I used to that God's going to answer. And that's not saying that you should emulate me in that. That's just telling you up front, I have work to do. Here I am pastoring a church in my 20s, church plant that gets a building given to them 2 years in. We've seen God do some amazing things, seen God come through time and time again. And all it took was one time God not coming through for me like I thought he should, and my faith crumbled. And I'm still building it back up. So when I was preaching this sermon, I was preaching it to myself. Just as much as I was preaching it to y'all, which I could tell actually in delivery today, I was a little bit more loud because sometimes I yell at myself to try to get it. So my encouragement for you today is be confident in your prayers. Don't let your circumstances, because I know many of the stories of the people in this room, and I know that you've been through stuff this past year. Don't let the stuff that you went through this past year stop you from having confidence in God's goodness, in God's love for you, and in God's desire to see good for you, because he is a good father. Amen. Go and stand to your feet and the worship team can come up.